This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday.
When Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
Paul Anthony with you on the Vic Police Community Hour with Gabby Tyack. Welcome.
It's always good to have you back, Paul.
Yes, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yes, I love the Paul days.
Do you? Well, it's the fifth Wednesday of every month, so when does that happen?
We only get that three or four times a year.
Oh,
so well, there you go. It's a long wait.
You only get to see me three or four times a year.
Aww.
Also joining us is a Detective Senior Constable from the Moorabbin Sexual Offence and Child Abuse Unit. Welcome, Jason Cock. Welcome.
How are you going?
You're going to be joining us for today. We're going to be finding out a little bit more information about you later on. Gabby, what's on for the show today?
Well, this week, Jason has a crime that he's working on that he's the informant for, and that's the Crime Stoppers Crime of the Week. So that, if you saw, I think Channel 9 has Crime Stoppers, they would have done a reenactment of the crime we're going to be talking about, which happened in Paran earlier, I think in January this year. So we'll be talking about Jason, about his career in Victoria Police, and also about this particular crime, because we want some assistance from the public to help us identify the offender, because it's highly likely he's going to commit other offences if he hasn't already.
Okay, stick around for that. What else is on?
We have our other Crime Stoppers Crimes of the Week and a bit of Victoria Police news and just a bit of nice chat because we've missed you, Paulie.
Ah, isn't that sweet? It's the Vic Police Community Hour here every Wednesday. Paul Anthony with you and Gabby Tyack, and our special guest from the Moorabbin Sexual Offence and Child Abuse Unit team is Detective Senior Constable Jason Cock. Jason, are you... You pronounce that socket now, don't you? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Socket. Yeah.
It used to be soccer.
Soccer. Yeah. And now it's socket.
And Jason would have liked that because he's a fan of soccer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Looks a bit like a soccer player, doesn't he? All right, Gab. Vic Police News.
Yeah, we do this every week. This is an interesting one. It happened on Monday where a member of the public located an elderly couple who went missing after dropping their son off at Melbourne Airport on Sunday night. Do you remember this? Did you hear about this on the news?
No, but go on.
Okay. Well, a man contacted police communications. He observed a couple driving at about 40 kilometres an hour along the Burwood Highway at 3:15 p.m. So that's pretty unusual speed for a highway. The couple were... he followed the couple for about 20 minutes and kept relaying the location to police as he was driving. And the police came along, spoke to the couple, escorted them back to Knox Police Station where they were reunited with their family. So they'd been missing for a considerable amount of time after dropping off these people at the airport.
And so were they not missed?
They were. They were. I think
they
were reported missing, I believe.
Okay.
But they were driving around for, I think, almost 24 hours. The family didn't know where they were. They're an elderly couple. Obviously, there were some issues there. I'm not sure whether they had some kind of things related to being elderly. Maybe they. Someone out in the foyer said they think they had dementia.
How old were they?
Well, there's nothing in this story that's off Vic Police News, but I was told they may have been in their 80s.
Gee, look, I'm worried when my mum drives down to the shop, let alone to the airport.
I know, and this is why in the community we have to be aware of what's going on around us. And if these people have been driving around for that long, they're obviously confused. They were driving at 40 kilometres an hour on a freeway, so they're doing something that everyone would notice they're doing. Everyone would have been driving around them. They're probably waving their hands at them and swearing at them because you shouldn't be driving that slow on a freeway.
Yes.
People would have been aware this was going on, and no one called police until this person did at 3:15 on the Monday afternoon.
Jason, you've been a part of the police force for 13 years. Have you seen something like this before?
Yeah, you do get people driving slowly at times. Sometimes it's alcohol related, people trying to stay under the limit.
What about older people? Because, I mean, how do you sort of tell your mum, dad, you know, it's time you don't drive anymore? Because, that's an independence you're taking away from them.
It is. And, parents and grandparents, as they get older, once you take that independence away from them, they lose a big part of themselves. So it is difficult. But I think sometimes with, you know, elderly people, they like to be conservative and drive within the rules and, you know, go slower than the speed limit at times.
And that's
because they think it's safer, but really it's not.
They do, and certainly 40 kilometres on a freeway is not safe.
No.
But a lot of people would have passed these people by over this period of time, and obviously no one has called the police. And how many times have you witnessed something and thought, okay, someone else will ring the police, I don't have to do it? And everyone seems to think that no one ends up ringing the police. And unfortunately, these people, thank God they were found and no one was hurt. But they could have been found a lot earlier if people had noticed something and called 000.
Could have caused a big accident as well.
They could.
I don't know. Do you? Yeah, all right. So your suggestion is, see something weird, just call 000.
Absolutely. Don't worry about it. It might not have anything to do with police, but there's no harm in calling and letting people know.
All right. So how'd they pull them over? Do you know that? Because they might have been a bit freaky.
He probably would have been, but very carefully, I would suggest.
Or maybe very happy for them. All right. Get across to vicpolicenews.com.au.
Crime Stoppers, Victoria Police and Joy 94.9, working together to keep our community safe.
Paul Anthony, Gabby Tayak and Jason Cock here on the Victorian Police Community Hour.
That's the one.
I'll get it right. Gabbo, we've got some Crime Stoppers for this hour.
Yeah. Police wish to speak with a man and woman in relation to a series of credit card deceptions around Taylor's Lake and Campbellfield on the 27th and 28th of March this year. It is believed the credit card was stolen in the vicinity of Big W in Water Gardens and was used numerous times within the next 24 hours at Harvey Norman in Taylor's Lakes and Kmart in Campbellfield. We've released images of a man and woman who we believe may be able to assist us in our inquiries. Get onto the Crime Stoppers website and have a look at these images. The woman's described as Caucasian, in her mid-30s, medium build, brown hair, olive skin, and was wearing a striped singlet and dark pants. The man is described as Caucasian, in his mid-30s, slim build, brown hair, fair skin, and was wearing a white t-shirt and jeans. A baby was also seen with the pair.
Oh, and that's more suspicious than anything.
It is. Baby. Well, you might have noticed them with a baby, screaming baby perhaps, but they're good images. Get onto this website, have a look at CA6207 is the reference, and hopefully you can identify them for us.
Where is Taylor's Lake and Camberfield?
Well, I'm not from Victoria, so don't ask me.
Do you know, Jason?
Yeah, Taylor's Lake is out the western suburbs, I think out...
towards the airport, maybe?
Yeah, Sunshine Way.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think Campbellfield is out on the Hume Highway heading towards Sydney.
So they're not near each other?
No.
Okay, cool. So they've done that. All right. Well, if you do see these photos, I mean, we do say each and every week, get across to Crime Stoppers, and you know them, well, then you will know them because they're very, very good photos. I'm not sure what he's trying to carry out there. Maybe
looks like
an Xbox or something.
Yeah, it does look like an Xbox.
You could be playing the Xbox that this guy has taken. All right, recap on that one for me, Gab.
It's a deception in Taylor's Lakes in Campbellfield that occurred 27th, 28th of March this year.
Is there another one? No, there's not. Get across to crimestoppers.com.au. You can also call 1-800-333-000. In case of emergency, always call 000. And remember,
if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
We're on the Victoria Police Community Hour with Paul Anthony, Gabby Tayak, and our special guest from the... I've lost it, Gab. It's gone. Oh, here it is. It's on this piece of paper. They're the same. The Moorabbin Sexual Offence and Child Abuse Unit Team, commonly known as SOCKET.
Take the unit out of there.
Oh, there's no unit.
Well, it used to be a unit.
Oh, okay.
Now it's a team.
Fine. All right. Well, anyway, our guest today is Detective Senior Constable Jason Cock. Jason, you've been with the organisation for about 13 years, back in, 99?
Long time ago.
Okay. And you've gone from all sorts of stations. You're at Richmond, Carlton, Glen Waverley. Is there much of a change between each, what would you call it, police house? Is that what you call it?
Station?
Police station.
Police station.
Every station tends to be different. You'll have your similarities, Richmond and Carlton being inner suburban stations. Carlton is no longer around. It's now North Melbourne. They relocated to a brand new station a couple of years ago. Richmond and Carlton have got similarities with, you know, high-rise commission housing. There's also upmarket housing as well. So you've got a different wide-spreading demographic. You've also got, you know, people from the suburbs coming in because it's, you've got night spots, pubs, restaurants. You know, Richmond's right near the MCG, so there's a lot of different demographics around the inner city.
Now, in a traditional workplace, you normally work for your 10 years, get your gold watch. I know that's, no, you get your long service leave, don't you? Get your long service leave. You would have, I'm assuming, come in at the very young age of between 18 to 21, somewhere around there. Has it changed much in the 13 years? And did you think that you'd still be here after 13 years? Not as in alive. I mean, did you think you were going to still be at the police force?
Yeah, I joined reasonably young. Not too young, but I was 23 when I graduated, or 24 when I graduated. So I chose it as a career move. So I saw myself in there for a long time. Always had interest in criminal investigations, which is why I wanted to become a detective. So in the beginning, you do your uniform duties, which encompasses everything.
Yeah.
You're the first at just about every scene. So, you know, whether it's a car accident or, you know, a serious assault or, you know, even a murder, the uniform van usually get there first. And then what I'm doing now, you follow up the investigation. So a lot of the time when you get there as a uniform member, you're dealing with the initial crime scene, but then some lengthy investigations are done by detectives, which is what interests me.
Now, you did temps at the Major Collision Investigation Unit in Glen Waverley.
I did.
What's temps?
It's temporary duties. So when you're a uniform member and you have aspirations to, whether it's to become a detective or to join a traffic unit or whatever career path you look for yourself. Temporary duties means that you'll do a secondment at a specific area for differing lengths of time. Sometimes it's 3 months, sometimes it's 6 months. Just depends. So it gives you an idea of what that's about, but it also gives you experience for when you're applying for jobs as well.
So it gives you a bit of a taste of what you could go, direction you could go through. What interested you the most about the Major Collision Investigation Unit?
Major Collision Investigations are high-level car accidents. So it's, you do have a traffic element, but by and large, the investigations themselves are fairly protracted and I found very interesting. And I think it's a very intriguing place to be.
What do you mean high level?
High level is when you're looking at major collisions, they have their criteria, which is when people unfortunately die, so there's a road fatality. Okay. And the Major Collision Investigation Unit basically try to determine things such as cause of death. Is there alcohol or speed, or, you know, are there any contributing factors that have caused it? Sometimes, you know, the offending driver unfortunately is deceased, and that's why we see a lot of the road safety campaigns that are being driven by TAC, Vic Roads, and by the police themselves. And I think there's an ad at the moment that's on the TV that shows slowing down your speed.
You may or may not be able to answer this, so feel free to say your usual no comment thing. Does the TAC work in with Victoria Police, or do they have their own thing where they just come up with whatever and Victoria Police have to wear it?
Very good question. I know TAC have some, like,
I think we work together. We have discussions and work together about what's needed most and where our concerns are most in relation to major collisions and collisions where people are deceased, and because we're always looking at the road toll.
Who has the final sign off?
I don't know.
It's a good question. I think they're all stakeholders and they all have their input. But
homework for you next week, Gab.
Indeed, I'm writing it down.
All right. Get down to this one as well. You moved on to the Asian Squad and Drug Tasking Unit. I'm surprised they've actually even just signalled that out.
Well, they're two separate.
Are they?
Things aren't they, Jason?
Yes, that's right. I used to have the Asian Squad at the crime department. That's no longer one of the squads that we have at the crime department, and it's actually the divisional tasking unit, but we did undertake drug investigations. That's at a uniform level as well. So it's, you know, for members who, again, look to have aspirations, okay, if they want to, you know, move on further, they can do more specialist investigations to give them a bit of a stepping stone, I guess.
So you can see from Jason's history in Victoria Police that his whole career has been leading up to becoming a detective and investigator from all the things that he's done.
And the one last one, and we'll talk more about this after some announcements. You spent 4 months at St Kilda before being promoted to the Moorabbin Sexual Offence and Child Abuse Unit.
Something like that.
Is that where you always wanted to go, into that sort of unit? Was that your passion?
The work definitely interests me. Sexual assault investigations are fairly sensitive and victim-orientated, as is major collision and, you know, the child abuse aspect of it. The investigation side interests me, so whether it be major collision or Moorabbin socket, it's something that, yeah, I've always had an interest in.
All right, well, we're going to be talking about a sexual assault up next right here on Joy 94.9. Paul Anthony with you on the Victorian Police Community Hour with Gabby Tyack, Jason Cock, as we do each and every other week. We have crime, this one being a special crime, because that's why Jason Cock is in here today to tell us about what's going on. So go.
Jason is the informant for the crime of the week, and he'll be talking about that after this. But what the crime is, on Thursday the 26th of January this year, between 2:30 a.m. and 3 a.m, the victim was walking along Balmoral Street in Paran. He was approached from behind by a man who pressed a sharp object into his back. The man forced the victim into Portland Place between Grosvenor and Cliff Streets, where he pushed the victim against a fence and sexually assaulted him. The man, a passing car shone its headlights on the man, causing the man to run off. He's described as being medium build, between 175 centimetres and 180 centimetres tall, with short dark brown hair, and was wearing a dark t-shirt and shorts and had a stud earring in his face. We've released a face image of a man whom we believe may be able to assist us in our inquiries. So we don't have any actual photographic images, but the victim put together an image using our computer experts to pretty much a good facial fit to the offender.
Or something similar. Now, Jason, we don't normally have people come in to talk about the crimes of the week, but clearly this is something that's grabbed your attention. Any particular reason why it's got so much attention?
I think what Gabby's said in terms of the incident itself, it's a very disturbing incident. It clearly disturbs the police that this is happening. It's the person we're seeking isn't known to the victim, and given the nature and the circumstances, the fact that it's in a laneway in South Yarra at about 3 o'clock in the morning, it's a very disturbing crime that we're investigating, and our aim is to identify who has done this so that we can deal with them.
Do you know of any other assaults perhaps done by the same person?
None have come to our attention at the moment, which is another reason why we're seeking public support. Seeking public support, obviously, as Gabby said, there's a face image which is on the Crime Stoppers website.
And they reference CA6076, so get up there now and have a look at it.
And I also believe the Crime Stoppers website has the... what was on Channel 9, the target crime of the week?
They did a reenactment. It should be on the website, but it's also on YouTube. Crime Stoppers Victoria has a YouTube channel. So just go onto YouTube, type in Crime Stoppers Victoria, and it'll be the latest upload on there. You can watch that reenactment of the crime.
Okay, well, let's relook at it. It was the victim was walking north along Balmoral Street, which is in Paran, forced a man into Portland Place between Grosvenor and Cliff Streets.
So, do you know that area, Paul?
I'm trying to think. Is Grosvenor, does that run off Chapel Street? Or is that Greville? No, that's Greville Street.
Well, from the reenactment when I looked at YouTube, it didn't look like a place that had much lighting.
No, that's right. Balmoral Street runs off Commercial Road.
Okay.
And where it runs into Grosvenor Street, I guess trying to explain it is, runs along the train line, and where the train line is, Portland Place is a little walkway that runs in between Grosvenor and Cliff. So Balmoral runs off Commercial and then it goes around to the right because there's a little walking
so it's
path.
Heading towards the city?
This one you would be north south, so it runs sort of adjacent to Chapel Street. So if people know Chapel Street, Balmoral runs a bit further up. But
okay, so there's a nightclub on Commercial Row, which is called D&M Nightclub, the Old Exchange. So I'm assuming it's not that street, but it's the street across the road from the railway. You go over the railway line and then turn left before you get into the shops. Is that where we're talking?
I'm not sure. But is it an area that's
because I'm sure
not,
that's the one
not
that sweeps
used
around.
Very much, particularly at that time of night. It's not somewhere where there'd be a lot of foot traffic or vehicle traffic at that time of night, of morning.
There wouldn't be a lot generally at that time. I guess this was on Australia Day, so it was on the morning of the 26th of January, and being a public holiday, it's like a Friday or Saturday night to that extent, because you know some of the nightclubs and those sorts of places would have been open Wednesday night and probably a little bit later because it was going into a public holiday. So we're hopeful that it is, when you're right, when you go down there and you go down the laneway, there's not a lot of foot traffic at that time of the morning. There's no trains that run. There's no lighting in the laneway. There's a little bit of lighting in the street prior to the laneway, but the lane itself, there's not.
Is it lighting. A known area to police?
That's a good question. Because at Moorabbin we do cover from our unit, we do cover South Yarra, Paran, St Kilda. So we do go a fair way. But not having worked in Paran itself, I'm not too sure exactly what happens there.
What can you tell us about the case so far? What do you know about it? How far have you got since January?
The case is still ongoing. We had some media release early on when it happened, and the reason we've done the Crime Stoppers target crime and the reason we're coming in here today is that we're trying to get more interest because we haven't had a lot of luck with the information that we've got so far. So there are still avenues that we're looking at, but we're trying to get more people who may, at the time, I think Gabby said before that was unrelated, that some people think, oh, you know, maybe somebody else knows something about that and they're the ones that'll ring up. So we're still appealing for witnesses and given the time lapse that's gone by, if, you know, people can see the face image that we've got and we can get that out there and distribute it, then, you know, hopefully that'll help us identify who this person is.
Trying to think where I was on the day before Australia Day. I probably would have been working. But so it's a party. It was a party night, isn't it? Because Australia Day is the holiday. So no doubt you may have been out on Commercial Road that night along that club strip, perhaps.
And perhaps he frequents the area. So if you have a look at the image, we'll try to get it up in some of the local venues. But have a look on Crime Stoppers now, and I think it's going to be, the image will also be in the gay press perhaps as well. It was originally, I think, when they put the press out in January after it happened. But this guy's out there. He could be hanging around and committing these offences. So just have a look. Help us identify him. He might be someone that you know. He might be someone that you see regularly and just didn't know he was doing these sorts of things.
How else can we help, Jason?
I think, as Gabby said, if we can distribute the face image and get the information out there to people, because I guess when it comes down originally, people will see it and they might not ring up or for whatever reason, and then people tend to forget about it. And because we're still investigating it and the investigation can take time, we just want to get it out there again so that, you know, people can try to, you know, they might think that the information they've got isn't helpful or it's minor, but any information that they've got could lead us in the direction of identifying this person. I think the Herald Sun today as well has the target crime in there as well. So if any people want to have a look, I think the image might be in there as well. I haven't seen it yet.
I'm pretty sure it would be. But with this investigation, there may be people out there who are victims of this person. There may be people out there who the guy attempted to assault them in some way but didn't go any further, and you might have information that can help us. You may not have even seen the person's face, but maybe a similar thing happened to you where you were pushed in a laneway or someone's come up behind you with a sharp object in the back, but nothing else happened. You're the sort of people that we want to speak to because you will have some valuable information for us. And also, this is an instance where a guy's been walking around at 3 a.m, possibly leaving a venue, I don't know, thinking that it's safe because he's a male. A lot of women wouldn't do that sort of thing because we're more vulnerable, but and men don't think about it. But obviously, men can be victims of these sorts of crimes too. And if you're a victim of this person or someone else and you're a male, you should still be contacting police and reporting these things. We need to make sure these people are off the street.
Okay. Now, would you like them to ring Crime Stoppers or would you like them to ring you? What's the go of that one?
If they can ring Crime Stoppers, 1-800-333-000. Our office might not always be manned, and if we ring Crime Stoppers, there'll be a call taker there who can get the information and pass it through to us.
Cool. All right. You heard that. 1-800-333-000. Okay, I'm going to do a recap on that one for us.
Yes, it's a sexual assault that occurred in South Yarra on the 26th of January, so Australia Day in the morning between 2.30 and 3 a.m. And it was on Portland Place between Grosvenor and Cliff Streets, if you know the area.
Okay, more information. Once again, get across to crimestoppers.com.au. You can call 1-800-333-000. In case of emergency, always call 000.
And remember, we don't need to know who you are.
Just who they are.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Paul Anthony, Gabby Tyack and Jason Cock in from the Moorabbin Police Station.
Suck it.
Okay.
from the Moorabbin House, is that right, Paul?
That's it. Yeah, that's the one. Now, Gab, some messages.
Yeah, well, we've got Mary writing in saying that in Argentina, for many years, religion discouraged victims of child abuse to tell police and persuaded them to forgive and forget, which caused moral and psychological damage, which I'm sure it would have.
A bit disturbing.
And unfortunately, this happens in many countries where people are persuaded to report things, and we need people to report.
Someone else saying, your topics of discussion very interesting and valuable for the whole world. Ah, that's sweet.
Thank you.
Where is the owner of the feminine voice who considers me as their little friend from Argentine? I'm not sure. Is my voice not feminine?
What about mine? Is mine not feminine enough?
Well, I'm not going down that track. And one in from Jill. What's going on with Jill? Jill says, although I'm only young, I'm enjoying listening to the Vic Police Community Hour. Thanks to all be involved. Cheers, Mr. Ajax. Gabby, I think you're in on this one.
Mr. Ajax is our new little puppy, 8 weeks old, so he's listening. He's tuning in and getting educated.
Oh, is it barking yet?
Yes. Yeah, he responded to that. Yeah,
probably.
There and you go, hi, Ajax. Jill. Thanks for listening.
Cool. All right. We're talking more about safety. Well, talking about taking photos when you're out and about, when safe to do so, because you've got an interesting flash has been caught on a camera by a fast-thinking victim.
Yeah, well, this is in all the papers this morning, and we printed it out. It's a Crime Stoppers crime, where a woman was walking in Melbourne's north. She was a female jogger, actually, and a guy rode past her a few times on his bicycle and then hid in the bushes, and when she's jogged past that area, he's flashed himself at her. And she was smart thinking enough to get out her phone and take a photo of him. And that caused him to run away. Or ride away, I suppose.
Well, he's on a bike, isn't he? Yeah. He looks like he's in a...
So it's a pretty good image. And if you blew it up, because the one I've printed out is quite small, you can see his face. It's a little bit blurry, but it's also clear enough to identify him and the clothing and the bicycle that he's on.
Yeah, you might have seen him down there if you're along
He might regularly ride along there picking out his victim to flash to. So, look, we've spoken about this before many times on this show that, you know, most of us have a phone and most of the phones have cameras on them. So we encourage people to take photos if it's safe to do so, because then you can either show them to the police like this lady has done or upload them onto the Crime Stoppers website.
Jason, when's it safe to take a photo of someone who's accosting you?
I think I was going to say, along the lines of what Gabby said, we don't want to compromise anybody's safety. So if it's possible to do it, then we would love people to be able to do it. But if it's going to come at a cost to personal safety, people's personal safety would be the prime
And one thing that I like to do, because I love taking photos on my phone, I'm constantly doing it, but I'm taking them of, you know, the scenery and things like that. But, you know, you can do it quite sneakily and not have your phone up like you're obviously taking a photo. You can have it down by your side. You can pretend you're sending a text. You don't have to make it look like you're taking a photo.
If you're a victim, though, could that not escalate the
absolutely.
The problem?
And I think this lady's quite lucky that it didn't escalate, because it very easily could have. He could have gone two ways. He could have run, or he could have escalated and possibly assaulted her. And luckily, in her case, he's just left.
Hmm. All right.
But there was also apparently another incident involving this person in the same area on the same day. And this occurred last Sunday, I believe, down at Merry Creek Trail in Coburg about 1:35 p.m. So if you were...
Okay, so that's a...
It's very recent.
It's a different one.
No, this is the same one, but another incident earlier that day occurred where it was believed to be the same person. So, look, he might be a regular person riding along that track and just trying to find someone that he can do this to. And also in these cases, flashing can lead to physical assaults or sexual assaults. So you've just got to be aware that this person may...
escalate their behaviour.
Exactly.
Mm. I think the other thing is if you've got a phone... You can ring 000 as well. If you see something suspicious and you're not sure and you do get your phone out, you can get on your phone and ring 000 as well, and we can get uniform members there as quickly as possible to try to help in the
when
situation.
When you ring 000, do you have to identify yourself?
No.
No?
You don't.
Okay.
You can just say you're witnessing something, tell them where you are, and just say you don't want to give your details. There's no problem doing that.
All right. Good. What else?
Well, we've got a couple more Crime Stoppers crimes. You want me to do them now?
Oh, you can do that. Yes.
Okay. We've got a person that we know who he is.
Yep.
But we don't know where he is, so it's a little bit different. His name is Mehmet Sevinc. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it. He was born on the 13th of November in 1980, has a medium build, brown hair, balding and an olive complexion. We want to know where he is. It's alleged he was in possession of drugs in September of 2011, and we have warrants issued for his arrest. So get on to Crime Stoppers and have a look at that image. Mehmet Sevinc.
Okay, so that's being a wanted. You actually know who that person is?
Yeah, we just don't know where he is.
Just don't know where he is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this one is an indecent assault in Port Melbourne. April 17 this year, a young woman was indecently assaulted when walking along Graham Street in Port Melbourne on April 17 at 7 p.m. It is alleged that the woman had just got off the tram at Beaconsfield Parade and walked to Graham Street when a man grabbed her around the neck and placed his hand down her top. He ran away when the woman screamed. The man is described as an Asian in appearance. He's in his late 20s, 175 centimetres tall, medium build with straight dark hair down to his ears and brown eyes. He was wearing a black suit with a white shirt and was carrying a black bag, over his shoulder. Police have released an image of the people who they believe, and you can see that at crimestoppers.com.au.
And it's CA6232. Mm. I looked at that image and I thought it looked like a schoolboy in a school uniform.
Yeah, would have said... they said a man in his late 20s, so...
Yeah.
Hmm. But then the photo fits are not always going to be exact, are they?
That's right. But I guess we could, because Jason's here and he's an expert in sexual offence crimes.
Well, Jason, while I was reading at this, you're nodding your head. You know of this one?
I do, actually. It's being investigated by our office as well, so, and specifically my crew.
Okay.
So, Detective Senior Constable Ben Hodson's the informant in this matter. And again, it's disturbing because it appears that the victim's got off the tram and it appears that she's been followed. And for the suspect to actually reach in behind her and actually put his hand down the top isn't just, you know, a tap on the bottom or something like that, which still constitutes an assault. This one, he seems to have gone to another level, and that's disturbing for us. So we want to identify this person as well.
Mm. And it's 7 p.m. when it's occurred.
Yeah, that's right. And Port Melbourne is a pretty busy place as well, so we're hoping, you know, people would recognise this person.
Recap on those, Gab.
An indecent assault, Port Melbourne on the 17th of April, and we're looking for Mehmet Sevinc.
Get yourself across to crimestoppers.com.au, and you can also call 1-800-333-000. In case of emergency, always call 000.
And remember,
you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Quick! On Joy 94.9, Gabby, it's nearly time to go. But before we let Detective Senior Constable Jason Cock go, if I was getting assaulted or someone was seeing an assault taking place, and of course today we've been talking about sexual assault, I could only remember one thing, what's the key thing that I should be looking out for that would help you in your investigation?
Probably one of the most important things would be get onto 000 and get the police down there as soon as possible. And
okay, then, so that's the first thing.
Yep. Yeah, and then the police can then look at things such as, you know, containing the crime scene and clothing, and then offer other instructions.
Because with this recent Crime Stoppers crime where the offenders reach down the front of this lady's top, you might not think that it's worth making sure you don't wash the top, that we wouldn't get any DNA or evidence from that top. But, you know, things have advanced so much over the years that we possibly could get DNA just from that person's hand or touching your skin or the inside of your shirt. So it doesn't have to be, you know, a sexual assault where there's liquids involved or anything like that. We might be able to get evidence for just from the hand inside the shirt.
Okay, very quickly, Jason, where are you going in your career? Chief Commissioner?
Probably not that far.
But, not far?
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying where I am at the moment. I'll be there for a little bit and then keep my options open.
Cool. All right. Well, if you see Mr. Kenley, make sure you say hello from me. All right. Good. Gabby, next week?
Next week is Radiothon. So
oh, yes.
We will be having a totally different show. Won't be doing all the normal things we do. Oh. We'll be promoting joy and how wonderful it is and telling some personal stories.
Get across to joy.org.au and check out what's going on for Radiothon. If you'd like to contact us during the week, glow@joy.org.au. That's glow@joy.org.au. Jason Cock, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Gabby Tyack.
I'll see you whenever I see you.
You'll see me in about, I don't know, 5 months. You can catch me tomorrow on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.